Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
They've done it with a team that LA fans have embraced. Guys like goalie Jonathan Quick, playoff MVP Justin Williams, the first line of Brown and Kopitar and Gabrick and Jeff Carter and his hockey smile.
I'm gonna find out who the hockey president, because you know, that first line in Los Angeles, Brown and
Kopitar
and Gabrick, yeah.
And smiling, don't forget smiling Jeff Carter.
And the hockey smile of Jeff Carter. I'll find out who the hockey president.
Yeah, 24 hours ago, you know, we do hold people to what they say on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Well, you have 24 hours to let us know who definitively has been the hockey president of the United States.
I don't know. Who should I research that with? President Reagan's no longer alive.
You can check with Benny Alphabet, Benny Ercolani in Toronto.
Benny Ercolani,
right? Doesn't he have the answer for everything?
Mahar, those guys could probably stand and deliver.
Yeah.
Maybe even Hackle, our good friend, our super scout in New York, can figure that out.
Insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. With five locations, the family keeps growing, tradition keeps flowing, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Everybody listens to you because you get the best guests. At least that's the promo.
Yeah, everybody wants to talk to me.
Yeah, so Stu Hackle, I know, sent you the email. He did a lot of research.
Copious
notes that he displayed to both of us.
He is the former director of broadcasting for the National Hockey League. We half seriously refer to him as our New York producer of Melnick in the Afternoon. And here's an example. I'm going to read exactly what Stu Hackle sent after hearing that segment yesterday, before we get to the Habs, Sabres, and some possible trades and everything else around the NHL. Ronald Reagan is one guy to consider. Mitch is right. We saw him sitting ringside at the 93 Cup Final. How aware he was of what was going on, I don't know. While he was president, he was certainly very visible when the All-Star Game was in D.C. during his first term. Before politics, he also started a film in the 30s that had some hockey in it, Hell's Kitchen with the Dead End Kids. The New York Americans did the hockey scenes. It was one of my favorite films when I was a kid. It used to be on television a lot. Reagan had little to do with the hockey scenes, but he was a sportscaster before he became a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
So Reagan is a possibility. Kennedy also knew hockey, despite you two giving them gears for his extracurricular activities. Being a Massachusetts boy, there's a famous phone call when he's in the White House phoning a friend to complain about the U.S. national team getting thrashed by Sweden 17-2 in the 1963 World Hockey Championship. Guess what? We have that phone call.
Dave? Yes, how are you? Dave, I noticed in the paper this morning where the Swedish team beat the American hockey team 17-2.
Yeah, I saw that.
Christ, who are we sending over there? A girl?
They didn't win a game.
I know it. I mean, who got them up?
I don't know. I can check into it.
God, we got some pretty good hockey players, haven't we?
Yeah, I think that, yeah.
All right, I suppose they're all playing in their college teams, are they, or something?
I'd like to find out whether it was done, under what, who sort of sponsored it, and kind of players they've got, because I think it's a disgrace to have a team that's 17-2. That's about as bad as I've ever heard, isn't it?
And they've been beaten by everybody by scores almost equal to that.
Yeah, so it's obviously we shouldn't send a team unless we can send a good one.
Will you find out about them?
I'll find out about them.
How about that? 9 years before the Canada-Russia series of 72, Kennedy, at the height of the Cold War, is embarrassed over his American men's hockey team.
Well, how about 3 years after they won a gold medal in Squaw Valley?
1960. Jack McCartan.
Yes. Billy and Bob Cleary. You can go down. I mean, come on.
That was impressive and not exactly politically correct by 2015 standards,
no.
But
no.
I don't believe there was any organized girl hockey back then, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. So it could be Kennedy. Jerry Ford had a big connection with the Oilers.
No, because of his relationship with Pocklington, but he's a football man. He's an All-American football player at Michigan.
Right. Okay. So let's
George. Pass.
George, the elder Bush, was a good athlete at Yale, but he was a baseball guy.
Right.
Pierre may have gone to the White House when he hosted the Penguins, but yeah. I don't think he was a fan. Did you?
Yeah, no, we went twice. It was weird because I think our trips were in the summer, if I remember correctly. It's not like it is now during the season, so right. It's a little different.
His son, W, had lots of photo ops with Cup winners and NCAA winners, but photo ops is what he did best. This is Stu Hackel.
He not only gives information, he editorializes too.
But two guys who ran for president and lost were both bona fide hockey guys. Eugene McCarthy was captain of his college hockey team, St. John's University in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, John Kerry, who played pickup hockey while he was running for president, might still play. He was a high school and junior varsity collegiate player. So there you have it. It looks like JFK was the hockey president.
Or Ronnie. But they both were pretty good, I would imagine. So it's good.
Yeah, how about that? I appreciate that, Stu Hackel.
That was great. I knew he'd come through. I did. But that's why I brought up Ronald Reagan's passed on. I can't call him up. He's passed on.
Oh, man. Did you guys learn something? Did you guys just learn something? How about that Kennedy clip, huh?
That was
fantastic. He's so upset about getting embarrassed by the Russians.
Well, why not? Wouldn't you be?
Of course. We were for years, and that's why we said, no, we got to get our best together.
That's
it's
correct.
Enough of this. Yeah.
And that's 72. It's all about 72.
Political junkie, Rod Francis, what do you think of that?
It's incredible, and look, we've seen footage in from the 72 series, but hockey was an extension of politics and an extension of the Cold War, just a different type of battlefield.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Ask Allen Eagleson. That's still one of the best pieces of tape ever.
What, the we're number one salute?
Yeah, and getting escorted.
Yeah, and he's giving us giving the finger to everybody at the Kremlin.
You know what? And I've had the privilege to get to know him over time and spend some time with him in different places.
Oh,
and,
careful now. Don't go there.
I don't mind. No. I don't mind. He did some good things for some people, and he did some bad things.
But
if you were to talk
crook.
To your friend Bob Gainey,
yeah, I know.
And you were to talk to your friend Bob Clark,
yeah, I know.
They would tell
guys
you a lot of good things that Allen Eagleson did for them.
I respect them greatly
That's
for what they did
I'm
on and off
you.
The ice, but I don't have a whole lot of time for.
I understand. I'm
Allen
just
Eagleson.
Telling you, your friend Gainey, Bill, go to the wall for Eagleson.
Well, you know, like Bill Belichick said yesterday of Tom Brady, nobody's perfect. Let's get to the Canadians and Sabres tonight, shall we? How many of the current Sabres that we're going to see tonight will be gone by trade deadline?
Well, that's a hard question, but I don't think Tyler Ennis will be going anywhere. I don't think Zemgurgensen is going to go anywhere. If they could move Drew Stafford, they would. I don't think Matt Molson's going anywhere. If they could move Chris Stewart, they would. I don't think they'll be able to move Brian Gionta. I can't think... They're going to have a tough time moving Tyler Myers, but it depends on what the price point is. But I would say the two guys that are staying there that are young guys are Rasmus Ristolainen and Nikita Zadorov. I can't see either one of those guys going anywhere. But I think everybody else, after the names I brought up before, those two young guys are all in play.
We got some guys who could be very beneficial to some playoff teams, and I'm quite sure they're anxious and thinking about it on a daily basis, and I mentioned to a couple of them, the only way you're gonna you'll see that is not hoping, but to make it happen and to play well, and maybe someone will want you, if not, make us want you.
Ted Nolan after the skate today. Yeah,
that's strong, but everybody's pointing fingers that are outside that team. I don't think people internally are pointing fingers. I think Tim Murray inherited such an unbelievable, colossal mess that it's going to take time. And Teddy obviously inherited it as a coach. This thing was just this is another example of how analytics are so skewed. They did most of their work based on analytics, and they just totally botched it under the previous regime.
Well, let me ask you about a specific guy before I get into some other players. It's really hard. Like, how do you properly evaluate players, whether they have a longer track record or not much of a track record, as part of a team that's this bad? For example, Cody Hodgson, 2 goals in almost 50 games.
It's mind-blowing because, again, he's one that I had a lot of confidence in terms of having a great season. It's not happening. And what I would tell you is just evaluating him, he's a step to two steps slow right now, and that's not something that you would have thought at this point in his development. I mean, he was a star player on the 2009 World Junior team. he should be going right in, as a 19-year-old, he should be going right into the wheelhouse of his career. And instead of going into it, he's going away from it. It's just, he's not evolving the way he should. And that's unfortunate for him.
But is it possible to resuscitate if he goes somewhere else? Not, or is
if
he just...
I were evaluating, yep. I'd say no.
Okay.
Because I'm mortified of the lack of speed. One of the things is as players get older and they go into the 24, 25, 26, 27 age group, if they're starting to lose pace then chances are they're going to have a tough time playing for very long. If they're still enhancing their speed quotient, then chances are they're going to be okay. And the one thing I would tell you about this player, hockey sense is A, puck possession skills are A, awareness is A, and then speed quotient is not where it needs to be. So it's probably C plus or C, which is not very good.
Yeah, Matt Molson's another guy who doesn't have a whole lot of speed.
Different player. One guy's a centerman, Hotz, and the other guy's a winger that's strong on the boards, very good in the slot on the power play. He can be a specialist in that role, and his hand skills haven't diminished at all. He's got really quick hands, but he needs to play with an elite center iceman. His best days were with John Tavares, on Long Island, and they were great together because he could get to the front of the net because he's a bigger, burly guy, and his hand skills are really good, and they're very quick. It's like a batter in baseball, Mitch, who can come through the ball really quick, even though he's not an overly large guy. He can get through the ball and drive it with power. This guy can do the same thing with a hockey puck.
Right. And what about Drew Stafford?
Drew should be so much better than what he's shown. You go back to watching him play at Shattuck St. Mary's. He played on one of the best prep school teams in the history of prep school hockey. Very good friends with Zach Parise. Went to the University of North Dakota. Had a stellar career there before he turned pro. Early on in his career in Buffalo, did some really good things numbers-wise. I remember him scoring a spectacular playoff goal against the Philadelphia Flyers. Has scored over 20 goals. Actually, I think scored over 30 goals once in his career. So, I mean, he's done some good things, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't translated the last 3 or 4 years for him. It's been really, really tough to watch because, again, you're talking about a good person, really good friends with Ryan Miller, by the way, and really good friends with Zach Parise, but it just has not panned out for this guy.
Yeah, I think it's definitely been one of the toughest times I've ever gone through in my career. And back when we had some pretty good teams in this organization, when we'd lose, maybe two in a row or three in a row, that was the sky was falling back then. And now it's obviously at a whole another level.
There's Drew Stafford again after the skate today. So should Stafford, because of his size and some history, or anybody else be of interest to Mark Bergevin, or should he be looking elsewhere to improve at the deadline?
Well, I know you guys were all in love with Thomas Vanek last year, and I said be careful. I would be careful. I'm not sure a Canadian market is where this player can go right now. I think if he's going to go anywhere, it's probably going to be to a team in the Midwest where he can be more of a role player and doesn't have to be counted on to be a huge point producer, whether it be Minnesota, whether it be as depth protection in St. Louis, maybe a situation in Chicago. As a depth player, I'm talking about. I think if he has to go to a place where he needs to be a focal point player, I think it's a problem.
All right.
If you look at the games in January, Pierre, only Jonathan Bernier received less goal support among goalies than Carey Price. Carey Price was 5-1. He got 1.8 goals per game in offensive support. Could that be one rallying point facing a team that's so bad? You look at all the stats, tell you how bad the Sabres are. One rallying point to the offense, saying, guys, let's help Carey out here. Let's make sure this game isn't solely on him tonight.
Oh, I think that's one way, and I think it's a smart way to look at it. The other thing you can do is throw out the stinker that was Saturday afternoon with the team you had a 2-0 lead on, a team that's looking to move players just like Buffalo is, and you chose not to show up the last 40 minutes of the game. I think that's another thing you can look at. So they've got a captive audience there and a lot of motivation for why they want to be successful tonight. And the other thing, I mean, if you're a fan of the Canadiens or if you're a player within the confines of the team, you're sniffing Tampa, and you want to get to the one hole. I would much prefer to be in the one hole in the Eastern Conference than the two hole, because if you're in the two hole right now, you're looking at the Rangers or Boston. I'm not sure I want to play either one of those two teams.
By Tinkoy, Nash breaking in, Nash all alone, Nash scores! A shorthanded goal for Rick Nash.
All right, Troy, yesterday we were talking about Carey Price as a possible MVP. Well, he's not a he's an MVP candidate, period.
He's definitely in the discussion.
Last night after Rick Nash scored that goal, the Rangers went up, and then they saw Florida tie them. They ended up winning the game 6-3. Larry Brooks of the New York Post, at this point, any prospective voter who doesn't have Rick Nash at the top of his heart list is thinking on the level of Pete Carroll. Now, that is typical New York hyperbole from Larry Brooks.
No, but to be fair to Larry, Rick should be on the list.
But he's saying at the top of the list.
No, well, he's one of the three guys you would consider.
Well, there's a few of them that are legitimate, right?
I'm just talking three. I mean, you can grow your list if you choose to, but Rick Nash has to be up there. You know, he's been consistent from day one.
Here's the argument I would make if the season ended right now, why I would say Price instead of Nash. Last year, the New York Rangers went to the Stanley Cup Final. They have a world-class goaltender. They have, correct me if I'm wrong, perhaps the deepest defense in the National Hockey League.
They're up there.
And they went to the final, and they had Rick Nash, who wasn't Rick Nash. They have, I think, overall, a better team than the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay,
overall.
So now I'm going to present to you something that's different. That your argument makes a lot of sense. So let's look at this. The Ranger team that went to the Stanley Cup Final last year, Brian Boyle is in Tampa. Anton Strahlman is in Tampa. Brad Richards is in Chicago.
No, Brad Richards wasn't really, you know, he's okay.
Part of their power play.
All right. Dan Boyle.
Pouliot is in Edmonton. He was on their best line with Brassard and Zuccarello. That was their most consistent line all year.
I can't believe you're reaching that low. You're bringing Benoit Pouliot into this discussion.
Last year, Benoit Pouliot was on the most consistent line the New York Rangers had.
Okay. But
Derek Brassard and Matt Zuccarello.
Derek Brassard's a better player this year, right?
This is the best I've ever seen Derek Brassard play since he left Drummondville.
And they got Dan Boyle to make up for the loss of Brad Richards on the power play.
Who's making up for Strahlman? Kevin Klein, but he was there last year, so I'm saying it's a different team, and Rick is a huge reason why this thing is going forward the way it is. But you have to sell me. I would, if I had a vote, and I don't get the vote, but if I did, Carey Price would be one of the guys I'd be voting for.
I would say Getzlaff in Anaheim. I would say.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
He's been great.
Do you want to throw some other names out there?
Tavares, Ovechkin. Yeah.
How about Taves? Anybody talking about him?
No, because he doesn't have enough points, Pierre.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you can't. Sorry. What's wrong with you? Jeez.
I know. It's like Babcock. How many coach of the years does he have?
Now you know the answer is zero.
None.
Yeah, when I asked you a week ago, you didn't know that.
I thought it was one.
That's ridiculous.
He does have one from the Sporting News, though.
The Sporting News is what? Is that like a...
Voted on by the coaches.
That probably means more, right?
I'm just saying.
Well, that probably means
one,
more to him.
It's not the one you want.
Yeah. Okay, latest odds to win the cup. We just do this for a source of discussion, not for anybody to put money down. According to Bodog.ca, Anaheim Ducks and Chicago Blackhawks both at 6-1, followed by the Blues at 9-1, and the Canadians with a group of teams, Boston, the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Lightning at 12-1, Detroit, Nashville, and the Rangers at 14-1. I don't agree with that last part.
The Nashville part?
Or the Rangers. I'd put the Rangers at 12-1 as well as...
I think the list is pretty accurate, though. I mean, the numbers, I don't know much about that stuff, but the numbers, I couldn't tell you, but those are the right teams.
Yeah.
Hey, those are the right teams, I can tell you that. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I talked about it today, and somebody said to me, you're not bringing up the Penguins. No, I'm really concerned about the Penguins. I am really concerned. I mean, I watch their games like I watch Montreal's games and Ottawa's games. I try to watch certain teams all the time. And the one thing about Pittsburgh that has me a little bit perplexed is they've won 4 of their last 10. They're having serious issues in their own zone. Part of that is because of injury. Part of that's unrestricted free agency, losing Brooks Orpik and Matty Niskanen and not having Olli Maatta, not having Christian Yerhoff. And they haven't had Malkin for a while. Maybe he comes back tomorrow against Edmonton, but... There's a disconnect going on there right now. I'm really concerned about their group. I am.
This has got to be abnormal, Pierre. When you look at the Eastern Conference and the division between the eight playoff teams and the not-haves, the teams that are struggling, and the fact that Buffalo has been so bad and the Leafs have been so bad in January, we've got this huge gap and chasm between the two groups of teams. Is that normal for this time of year?
Well, we started talking about this in December, about how there were certain teams that you could see they're starting to pull away, and there are other ones that are just hitting the skid. So now we're 2 months and a bit removed from that discussion, and that's what's been going on. You got that nailed, Rod.
Well, maybe the Florida Panthers would be, what are they, 8 points out? Maybe they'd be a little closer if they didn't have Sean Thornton on the ice for 10 minutes every night.
You know what? He's been hurt a lot, though. Come on.
No, listen. No, I'm just saying, Gerald Gallant's a good coach, right?
Yeah, very good.
But if he's getting 10 minutes, he's not doing his 5 minutes thing. He's getting 10 minutes every night that he plays. And
part of it's David Bolin hasn't played a lot. He played last night. He got a goal. Part of it's maybe Sean hasn't played a lot. Now he's back, and he's playing a little over 10 minutes. They had an injury situation with Barkov, who only has 6 goals right now. And Barkov's one of the better young forwards in the league. There, as much as you love Galchenyuk, you'd love Barkov probably as much when you watch him play. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that have hurt Florida over the course of this year, but the fact they're even within striking distance of 7 or 8 is pretty impressive. And when you consider it, they still have 2 games in hand, so that's important for them. They're playing the Islanders tonight. Won't be easy for them. And then they get to go home and they play against Los Angeles, which is going to be tough too, because L.A. obviously playing at Washington tonight. They already lost in this road trip. They have 5 games on the road. And believe me, they might have gone to the White House yesterday, but they were scoreboard watching, and they saw Winnipeg lost to Calgary. And the first game back after their 5-game trip, they played Calgary. So don't worry. There's a lot going on both sides of this thing at the bottom end of the standing, especially for the playoffs.
Boy, every time you think Calgary is about to slide down, they get back up.
Nope. Listen, we talked about Michel Therrien a lot on the show, and we've talked about Babcock a lot and a lot of other good coaches, Laviolette in Nashville. Bob Hartley never coached better. And I watched him really close last night against a good Winnipeg team. And Paul Maurice has got over 750 games of NHL experience of coaching. He knows what he's doing. And I'm really impressed by Bob and his team. And what blows me away, and I keep saying it, and I'm waiting for them to crumble, and they don't. The small guys, whether it's Chris Russell, whether it's Jiri Hudler, whether it's Paul Byron, whether it's Johnny Gaudreau, all guys 5'8 or less, they're all impact players there. Blows me away in the West that those guys are impact players, but they are, and they are virtually every night.
And maybe there's another name we could throw in, at least in the mix in terms of the heart, is Mark Giordano.
Gio's played really well. I think the biggest thing for him is he was at the All-Star game this year and hanging around with the players. He knew he belonged, and I think part of that was the growth that he experienced last summer when he was invited to Team Canada's orientation camp in Calgary for the Olympics. For whatever reason, you're talking about an undrafted player who had to go to the KHL after Calgary wouldn't sign him and spent a year over in Russia before he came back. And he's just found his way into being a comfortable player. And you're right on. You're right on, Mitch. He should be in the Norris discussion. I think right now in the Norris discussion, I don't know how long Shattenkirk will be out, but I think if you were looking at it, and you know how much I think of PK, but I wouldn't have him in the discussion yet. But Shattenkirk, Giordano, and Weber down in Nashville would probably be the top three guys.
Abdominal surgery for Shattenkirk. They say week to week.
Strange,
I mean, that's
strange injury, because Eddie Olczyk, Doc Emmerich, and I did that game, and we all looked at the tape a million times, and it's just Ovechkin and he in an innocuous collision, and he goes down. It's hard to see how his abdominal situation would be affected, because he goes down, he looks fine, then he goes careening into the boards, but not at a high rate of speed. And I would have thought maybe an arm or a shoulder, but they say abdominal situation, so very weird.
Habs and Sabres tonight, right here on TSN 690. We'll take you right there.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.